እንግዲህ
ዋጋ ሊኖራቸው የሚችለው በሥራ ትርጉም እንዲገለጹ በማድረግ ተከብረውና ተጠብቀው ሲገኙ ብቻ ነው። ወይስ ይህንን ቃል ኪዳን እንዲያስከብሩና እንዲያስፈጽሙ የተፈረደባቸው ደካሞችና ትንንሾች መንግስታት ናቸው?
Frustration, oh yes.
Is a continuation of last week's show, and it's talking about how fear is to death what love is to ascension, and what's involved is the body. The body is the criteria of what ascends or what dies. It is a curious thing that almost every human being that has come to this planet, that has lived, every soul within the context of the construct the body has ceased to exist because of unresolved fear One of the things that's curious, this is that if you go back to 1850, which was the new dispensation, the Industrial Revolution also started in the same year. Madame Blavatsky was responsible for disseminating the message, which was simply develop a spiritual practice that is viable, unique, that allows for an individual's body to be self-sustaining, self-regenerative, self-perpetuating within the context of that which is instantaneous, spontaneous, simultaneous. The interesting dynamic or the interesting gestalt that people live by is birth, crucifixion, death, or reincarnation. Reincarnation of the soul is death of the body. Ascension means to rise above, to take with, to integrate into. What one rises above is the shadow of the valley of death. What one takes with is the body. What one integrates into is the larger universe community. One simply goes from a planetary state of being into a universal state of being because the soul is to the universe what the mind is to God, what the body is to life, what the spirit is to that which brings to life a given person. A person place, a person, the spirit is that that is the life of, it is also that that brings to life a given created ideal. In our case, human beingness, it is the spirit. The warning or the advice that was given by both Madame Blavatsky in 1850 and Mayor Becquerel in 1866 through her Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, which was her book, and the thing that they both talked about was spirituality is the life of, not that which is mechanical or not that which is physical per se. I said the mind creates the body, the spirit brings the body to life, and then the soul becomes conscious of itself as that. The role that the soul plays is the soul is the consciousness of within the context of an ideal or state of being. And everything, every life form on the surface of this planet has a soul, every life form. We have this idea that only humans have souls, but that's not true. Animals have souls, birds have souls, fish have souls, insects have souls, reptiles have souls, plants have souls, and so on. The very interesting dynamic is that within the composition or kappa, within the construct of the life that we're living, we live a very straightforward dynamic. We either die or we ascend. The interesting thing is that in the 75,000 year historicity of humanity, very few people have ascended, taking the body with them when they go. I believe that Ramtha was the first human being to ascend 35,000 years ago. And the curious thing is that when we look at the process, ascension, if we're looking at it from the perspective of ascension as individual ascension, which according to the Council of Layet is more negative than positive because individuality has a negative bias to it, within the context of the universe, one of the things that we can come to an understanding of within the context of our life and times is that there is specificness that's in the inverse reversal of infinity, which is the inverse reversal of all-encompassingness, which is the original state and condition of God. Part of the work that a person does is to resolve issues, develop talents, become or be consciously aware, and it is the resolved issues, the developed talents, and the conscious awareness that forms the path, its purpose, as the contribution that's made. It only matters if it's contributed to the planet and others. Part of the opportunity that an individual has is what can be thought of as self-polarization. There is the negative self-polarization, which is controlled manipulation within the context of individuality to the exclusion, negation, inversion of God, life, and humanity as the Christ. The flip side is there is inclusion of God, affirmation of life, and involvement with human beingness to the enhancement of all of life on the planet, all people on the planet, the universe, and God. Part of the work that an individual does within the composition or constitution of his or her life is to become conscious, enlightened, miracle-minded, universally conscious, aware as it corresponds to mind, body, spirit, soul, or will of light and consciousness, as it corresponds to God, Yahweh the Creator, it that which brought us to life, and the consciousness of all that is, as the soul. These states, sun, earth, moon, and universe, are representations of the mind, body, spirit, and soul that are infinite, eternal, complete, total, as is. So the question we have to ask ourselves, the curiosity is that why is it that people are not willing to resolve lack, need, want, wound, fear, guilt, arrogance, denial, ignorance, indifference, intolerance, so that the life that is lived can be one, equality, balance, relationship, purpose, harmony, peace, serenity, and tranquility, oneness, perfection, completeness, content that contributes comprehensiveness, which is always and only the fifth chakra, and it pertains to truth that is shared. Then there is unity and union and unity. There is connected integration. And then there is reintegration of a given state back into the original state and condition of God. That adds to God all the experiences that took place through a medium that is infinite. When we are looking at the process, death is the disparity between that which is real and true and the ego body that an individual is willing to die as and for. Death is simply proof that individuality in and of itself doesn't exist. The only thing that you have is oneness that heals wholeness into ascension, according to God, life, the Christ, serving others. So what you have is the oneness of God, the healing of life, the wholeness of the Christ, and the ascension of that which serves. The difficulty is that there aren't very many bodies of knowledge that specifically talk about service polarization. The raw material is one. That is what comes to mind. An individual has the ability within the context of his or her life to connect with others, to contribute to others in a humble and transparent way. One of the things that I find interesting about my experience is the older I get, the less inclined I am to say anything to anyone about anything. Yes, there are a few people on the surface of this planet right now that I communicate my ideas to in a consistent manner or way. For the most part, I have nothing to say to the atypical average human being. Personally, I'm only interested in those individuals on the surface of this planet that are going to compose the core group that begins the process of working towards knowing the self according to its design, serving others as the positive path, and aspiring to collective ascension. The number that I'm given is that is about 2 million people out of 7 billion, which is an interesting thing because what you have is that it means that from the perspective of realness and truth, most people would rather die and reincarnate than they would to ascend what the realness and truth is according to the will of light and consciousness of God, Yahweh, the universe's mind, body, spirit, and soul. And it's a curious thing because one of the things that we are up against, so to speak, is we are up against the invader culture mindset and all that that entails. There is also the indigenous way of life, which is how we were created to exist humanly. And then there's the arbitrariness of everyone else. According to Neil Donald Walsh, 98% of humanity is unconscious. The number that I've been given is 99.98, but there's only 2/100ths of the human population that are harvestable now. We are at a time in which the Earth is going to change from a third density planet into a fourth density planet. And the interesting thing is those that repeat third density on another planet are going to cease to exist, convinced that the world has come to an end, because there is no coming back for those who repeat third density. According to the raw material, those that are negatively polarized are going to be harvested and removed and taken to that aspect of the universe that corresponds to their negativity. It is only that which is positively polarized as service that are going to be the individuals in the context of the process that are going to form the core group that eventually will be the basis for what collectively ascends from this planet into that which is universal. One of the interesting details about love and light when they are lived by people. One is doubled by two. It's called the law of doubling. One is doubled by two. Two is doubled by three. Three is doubled by four. 500 is doubled by 501. 1,000 is doubled by 1,001. 1,000,000 is doubled by 1,000,001. 1,000,001 is doubled by 1,000,002. And so on it goes. The raw is a social memory complex, according to their designation or stipulation or coinage, of 6,000,000 souls compose the entity known as the raw. And I'm of the opinion that the raw is the most evolved source involved with this planet, more so than any other source. One of the more interesting visions that I have been given is that the only thing that exists at the highest levels of creation are collectives that have ascended. According to the raw material, the last state aspect that individuality exists is the third octave of sixth density, because according to the raw, the fourth octave of sixth density is a reunification, is a reunion, if you will, is the unity of light, love, love, light. And so from the fourth octave of sixth density to all of seventh density, the only thing that exists are collectives that have ascended. It's one of the most interesting visions that I have been shown. It's one of the more interesting things that has been revealed to me. One of the curiosities about the life that we're living is that we would rather hold on to figments of the imaginations that are more irrelevant than they are anything else. The irony is that the atypical individual that comes into life and then passes on discovers upon passing that almost their entire existence was irrelevant according to what they felt, they sensed, they thought, and they envisioned within the context of the life that they are, which is a curious thing. In one sense, all we're doing is we're developing talents, resolving issues, and working on conscious awareness so that the contribution that we make is based upon those. Talents can be anything at all. However, most people don't take the time to find out what they have a talent for. I'm fortunate that I have a talent for martial arts. I have a talent for writing. I have a talent for playing music. I also have a talent for drinking wine. I also have a talent for food. I also have a talent as a sense of humor. And I've been told by various people over the years that I have a wonderful sense of humor. I like to make people laugh, and that's no joke. Anyway, it becomes an interesting process, because one thing is that everyone is entitled, or as it says in Conversations with God, nothing is inappropriate given one's measure of the world. Another thing that's interesting is if we focus on the idea of fear as a catalyst, why does it exist? And this is also comes from Conversations with God. The quote is this: in the absence of that which is not, that which is not. I'm going to repeat it. In the absence of that which is not. I'm going to repeat it one more time. In the absence of that which is not, that which is not. That little tidbit simply says that if you don't have an opposite to something that exists as it is, it has no way of evolving. It has no way of knowing. It has no way of basically understanding what it is to be, know, share, and then ascend. One of the things that I did in my book, Love and Wisdom, The Art of Appropriateness, was simply delineate the part of the development that we have within the nurturance, encouragement, development, discipline, adeptship, and self-mastery. The difference between adeptship and self-mastery is adeptship is becoming good at something, anything, that a person decides to apply him or herself to. And it could be working in a tire shop. It could be working for the post office. It could be working for some business. It could be something like taking care of children. Can be anything at all. Self-mastery differs in that the self-mastery is more comprehensive. And what I mean by more comprehensive is that basically an individual gets to a point in his or her life in which an individual can move within 5 minutes or less from a given negative catalyst, idea, thought, belief, or condition. Not easy to do, but it can be done. Another thing that an individual does within the composition or constitution of the life is develop talents so that the contribution can be made as and according to that. Another arena within the composition or constitution of the self is conscious awareness. One of the interesting things, which is why things cease to exist over time, is that individualization as a species, as a person, doesn't actually exist. There's only the connected integration of collective consciousness. If I take that idea and apply it to human beingness, that idea of connected integration of collective consciousness can be given the single term of Christ. Christ is and means the collective consciousness of connected integration of all of those individuals that are connected within the context of their life and times. Ultimately, everything is connected to everything through the heart. When people come together in a common cause, it's one of the most interesting visions that I have been given is that when an individual or a person comes together for a common cause, the heart is energetically connected to everyone in the room, everyone that's composing or the group that's involved. I experienced this with 10 people drumming, and I literally saw the energetic energy, the energetics involved with the people was all connecting all of the hearts as we were drumming, and it was very, very interesting to see. It was literally streams of energy from heart to heart to heart to heart. It was very cool, actually. And it taught me a very, very valuable lesson. People come together for a common cause when that common cause is based upon stillness as the heart, peace as the body, harmony as the head. It automatically connects everyone. The flip side is that when people come together under the pretense of hostility, what that does is it disrupts the energetic flow. And usually what the end result is kind of a chaotic, which sometimes leads to a violence. And we see this all the time. Large numbers of people come together and they're all frothing at the mouth about something. The dynamic that we are up against in one context can be thought of as lack, need, want, wound, fear, guilt, arrogance, denial, ignorance, indifference, and tolerance. That's one dynamic. They are negative. An individual can heal them into their positive opposites according to the law. And this comes from volume one. I think it's page 87. Every thought has an antithesis to it. When we are looking at the dynamics of fear, fear, the sense or perception, according to conversations with God, it's false evidence appearing real. One of the things that we haven't done within the composition and constitution of all human beingness, understand that we're all in this together. In one sense, we can say there's only one of us here, and each of us is that one. Or a person can say, I am you, you are me, and this is why we meet. Another idea is, and this is what I apply to myself, I only recognize in others what I'm guilty of myself, because that is why I'm recognizing what I do through others. The other opportunity that I find is useful within the composition or constitution of my life is that when I am recognizing someone according to something, it gives me an opportunity to say, and to look at, is there any aspect of that within my life when it comes to something negative? Another exercise that's useful is to take sea salt, put them in two bowls, stick your hand in each bowl, put the right hand in the right bowl, the left hand in the left bowl, and simply state, I ask for any negativity absorbed and grounded in my body over the last 24 hours, 24 days, 24 months, 24 lifetimes, 24 centuries, 24 millennia. The number doesn't matter. And then ask the negativity to leave, to dissipate, dissolve, ground, and assault. I do this every 24 hours. The interesting thing is, since I've been doing this exercise, I've only gotten a cold once in 31 years. and that was March of 2013. I came up to Mount Shasta, had shorts on, I had a Hawaii shirt on, and it was sunny, yet there was still 20 feet of snow on the road up to the top, to the top parking lot. I was at Bunny Flat, and I was walking around in the snow, and my body wasn't adjusted to the temperature, and I wasn't paying attention, and I was walking around on the snow for about 30 minutes, and I got a cold, and I thought that was very interesting. And then I started looking at, what is it that I have been doing? I said, well, one of the first things that I did long ago was I simply decided to stop using negativity to draw attention to myself. And once I did that, my life sort of went on automatic pilot because things simply don't go wrong. The other thing that's nice is that I have worked diligently for about the last 20 years at being positive in my response to people, places, and things. I have these stipulations that I read every day, and I have 5 pages of them. They're all laminated. And there's lots of them. There's probably realistically about 200 of them, maybe 250. And it's simply, I gratefully appreciate my life as the will of light and consciousness of God, life through Christ, serving others according to oneness, that heals, wholeness, and new ascension. That's one. Well, I have about 200 of these that I read every day because I am bound and determined that my life is going to correspond to what my faith, trust, patience, desire, and intention focuses on. I like the idea of being comprehensive. When looking at the process, fear is necessary because if fear were removed from the process, nothing would cease to exist. It would remain as is forever. The difficulty with that is that there is the natural state and condition of God as God is that precedes the universe. My understanding or vision of that is all-encompassingness. God's all-encompassingness that is uniform, constant, that never changes, inversely reversed into infinity. Infinity becomes self-conscious, which is where we find ourselves. According to the Raw, the development that the Raw had was it began with awareness, then growth. Cycle 3 was self-awareness. Cycle 4 was love or understanding. Cycle 5 was light or wisdom. Cycle 6 was love, light, love, love, light, unity. Cycle 7 was gateway, and according to the Raw, cycle 8 is that which they do not plumb or fathom or understand. My understanding is that the 8th cycle is reintegration of a collective that has ascended from a planet back into the original state and condition of God, adding to God all of the things, states, conditions, experiences that compose the collective that has ascended. And collectives can be thought of as galaxies, like the Milky Way galaxy can be thought of as a collective that has ascended. In a lesser, to a lesser degree, a person can think of as a planetary solar system as a collective that has ascended. I'm of the opinion that within the composition or constitution of my life, when I'm looking at the protocol or process of fear, it means the cessation of. One of the cool things about that which ceases to exist is it's the blessing of new beginnings. In order for evolution to take place, something has to end before something else can begin. So you have the role of fear, which brings about the ending of something. Then you have the power or process of love. Love can be thought of in a couple of different ways. One is love is proof of the existence of God. Love is the relationship between God and all that God is not, which is the entire universe. Love is the existence of something like you or me, or an animal species or a species on the planet. Love is also the relationship that I have with all else. It is the relationship that we have. One of the reasons why love is taught as a state is because it's the only way that everyone will have an understanding of the realness of God that is the same. The curious thing about religion is religion worships ideas about God that differ. And it becomes a very curious thing when you look at what people believe within the context of the process about a destroyer God. Shiva of Hinduism is a destroyer god. The Lord God, Jehovah, is a destroyer god. Allah is a destroyer god. YHWH of Judaism is a destroyer god. So it becomes very, very interesting that people on the surface of this planet worship that which is antithetical to the entire process. It's antithetical to the Creator and that which brought us to life. It's antithetical to be human beings as an ideal. And it leads to the social protocols of war, greed, and class distinction live and practice on this planet because of Shiva, Jehovah, Allah, YHWH. I hate to break the news to you folks, but that's what I understand about the process. Welcome to my point of view. When we are looking at the process of fear, fear serves a very, very specific purpose. It is that which brings the cessation of a given state so that that given state as an ensoulment can evolve into another state, into another state, into another state until it finally gets to the point from self-awareness where it can ascend on an individual level, and individuality is more negative than positive as the ascension, because individuality has a negative bias to us by the fact that it is individual. Then you move into that which ascends on a collective state, and it is only within the context of will, love, light, and consciousness as it pertains to God, Yahweh, it, and universe that a collective ascension is possible from the perspective of that that ascends. In conversations with God, one of the things that is stated as written is that before humanity hopes to evolve, nation state has to end. Well, it's more than just nation state. Race consciousness has to end. Gender disparity has to end. There is only the family of man that in its entirety is the Christ when everyone is living positivity as path as purpose that's conducive, consistent, and ongoing. And this is something that's not real easy to do. Look at how many people in the last 50 years who have been involved with New Thought, New Age ideas, and so on. The Course of Miracles, one of the founders of that just passed away, Helen Shipman, who channeled the information. She left her body behind. And the question is why? The work that we do within the composition or constitution of our life, one is develop intuition, which is the voice of God. The other is develop psychic abilities, which has to do with planetary life and human beingness specifically. And then there's channeling, which has to do with the universe. So you have the intuition of God, psychic abilities as far as the physical environment, body embodiment, and so on. And then you have channeling, which is usually a universal context. Well, where in the composition or constitution of science, religion, education, business, politics, law, and medicine are intuition, psychic ability, and channeling taught? And the simple fact is they're denigrated, denied, and so on. Another aspect of work that a person can do within the composition or constitution of the self is mindful purposefulness, embodied spirituality, and conscious awareness as path, as purpose. It is inner path, outer purpose. And what that means is a person meditates within to discover what is there. And then purpose is what is shared according to what an individual has discovered through the power or process of meditation. Meditation is a curious process, according to Edgar Cayce. Volume 1, Chapter 1 of A Search for God is meditation. The last chapter of volume 2 is also meditation. So for Edgar Cayce felt that it begins and ends with meditation, and there's a certain degree of truth to that. I've been meditating for approximately 41 years. I started when I was 18. And the reason why I started meditating was because four different things, from Edgar Cayce to people, to book material, so on and so forth, four different things presented themselves to me on the same day in about a three-hour period, and I said, I need to pay attention to this detail because I'm slow, and it took four different things to present themselves to me for me to finally recognize that meditation is important. Now, Edgar Cayce says there are as many ways to meditate as there are people on the planet. There is a word of caution here when it comes to meditation. I'm of the opinion that a person should develop a meditation practice that differs from anything that anyone else does. Yes, true, go within, but then seek to understand what the mind is as it corresponds to you, the body, the spirit, and the soul corresponds to you. How does your mind, body, spirit, and soul correspond to God, planet, universe, within the composition or constitution of your life? I'm going to throw out a little tidbit here, because one of the things that we humans don't do is we don't understand how the creation works according to opposites, according to gender, according to light and dark, love and fear, positive and negative, and so on. The technique is inverse reversal. A given state inversely reverses into another state so that you have a binary vibrancy between them. There are four binary vibrancies that make the self what it is humanly. God and universe, divinity, deity, Yahweh, Id, mom and dad. They are binary vibrancies. You'll notice that within the composition of the self, there's the heartbeat, which is a binary vibrancy. There's breathing, which is a binary vibrancy. There's waking and sleeping, which is a binary vibrancy. There's incarnation and ascension, which is a binary vibrancy. And the only difference between them is the time and space that's involved with them. Notice the heartbeat. The heartbeat is like boom, 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 boom. Boom, 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 boom. And notice breathing. Waking and sleeping is a 24-hour cycle. And then incarnation and ascension can be thought of as one time. And the only thing is that the length of time that's involved with the heartbeat is short. Breathing is longer. Waking and sleeping is even longer. And incarnation and ascension is even longer than that. So why the need for binary vibrancy? It's so that a given thing can understand infinity, a given thing can understand contrast, a given thing can make a contribution, because it only matters from the perspective of the contribution that's being made from my life to everything else, from another person's life to everything else. It only matters if the contribution is made. So if we understand that individuality in and of itself doesn't exist because that is what death shows us, how does an individual move his or her awareness into connected integration of collective consciousness? And then each individual on the surface of this planet is left to his or her own devices or not. I said, because there are a lot of people, there are billions of people on the surface of this planet that do not meditate every day. Then there are those that, who do meditate, but they meditate within the context of like transcendental meditation, Maharishi Yogi. They meditate within the context of Buddhist practices. They meditate within the context of Christian metaphysics and so on. And sometimes there is a misguidance within the context of the process. An individual can choose to become God conscious. An individual can choose to become enlightened. An individual can choose to become miracle minded. An individual can choose to be universally consciously aware. The irony is, and the fact is that an individual can meditate into an infinite number of differing states. One of the more interesting experiences I have had is my state of awareness going from me as Douglas Malloy into everything composing Sacagawea Park, every plant, every insect, every reptile, every bird, every human being, the ground, the river, the mountain. And then it became the entire planet, and then it became literally going from one state of consciousness to the other, to where then it got to where a point to where it was going so fast that it just everything became a blur. And I was literally the experience of consciously being consciously aware of infinity as a state. This is why I talk about it, because I have an experience that corresponds to what infinity is. The same thing goes with the all-encompassingness of God. One of the things that's useful within the context of meditation is it allows an individual to become the conscious awareness of whatever state that there is. From the perspective of the mind, the body, the spirit, and the soul, when we look at the idea of who we are within the composition of our life as it corresponds to the existence of, we find that things will present themselves. There is our daily life. One of the more useful pieces of information that I was given as advice was this, and it comes from the Council of Laet. And it's simply this: it is in the simple delights that gives the blessing to the human. It is not a blessing that you wait for. You are blessed now. What that did was it simply changed that every time I do something, from drinking a glass of water to brushing my teeth to eating a sandwich to working to driving a truck, whatever, it is in the simple delights that gives the blessing to the human. So I feel blessed just being a human involved with what I am during the course of my day. Another thing that is useful within the composition of meditating is can an individual experience stillness as the heart, peace as the body, harmony as the head? Can an individual experience joy as the heart, love as the body, light as the head, surrounded by consciousness? Can an individual make a contribution to the health and welfare of others without drawing attention to the self and without expectation of one for self-interested gains? These are opportunities that are available to every human being on the planet. It is curious how many humans on this planet are focused solely on the self, and there is no concern given to anything else other than that, which means that it makes a person mutually exclusive to their point of view, to the exclusion, negation, and aversion of everyone else, everything else. As I said earlier in this show, it only matters if we contribute to the health and welfare of others, and it can be anything at all. I'll give you an example. There's an individual who's been living on the streets in Mount Shasta for as long as I've been here, which is a year and a half. One day he walks into Subway sandwich shop, where I happen to be getting some soup and a salad on a gift card that was given to me. And so what the lady that managed the shop did was she gave him about 2 inches of bread from a loaf of the 9 different breads that they use for sandwiches. And I got to thinking about that, and I had about $30 left on my gift card. So I said, and I looked for the sandwich that I thought was a good value, a good size, and so I simply ordered a foot-long sandwich, and I gave it to the individual, and I just handed it to him and walked away because I didn't want to thank you. I didn't want anything other than I can contribute to this man in this way, given that I have the money to do it. It is curious to me that we don't realize humanly that we are simply an extension and expansion of each other's. One way of understanding the universe, one way of understanding life is simply this: God's will to be and know extends and expands, firstly reversing into a focus, becoming conscious of that which gave rise to it. God's will to be and know extends and expands by inversely reversing into a focus, becoming conscious of that which gave rise to it, for the sole purpose of making a contribution to that aspect of the self that differs from the context that an individual is the focus of. It is not that difficult to look for opportunities on the surface of this planet to make a contribution to a life form or another human being. One of the things that is going to happen within the composition or constitution of planet Earth is there is going to be an evening that takes place. E-V-E-N-I-N-G, an evening. There is not going to be extremes, billionaires, and people starving to death. There is not going to be these great extremes. There is simply, it's almost like one of the things that we do in the composition or constitution of our life is to think of a graph that goes way high and way low as a wave. And then think, what would it take to take that which is the low and that which is the high and make them an evenness, create a straight line? It's the only relevance or realness in a straight line, because in the composition or constitution of the universe, all you have is spirals and globes. Spirals as the type of movement, one way of understanding the creation is a spiral that spirals on the spiral that spirals on the spiral that spirals on the spiral. You try to draw that. The other thing that you have globes. If you take a globe, it has no beginning and it has no end. It doesn't have a starting point and an ending point. If I move my awareness from my sense of being a human being of flesh and bone to the sun, the only perspective that I'm going to have is sunlight 24/7. If I shift my perspective from the earth to the moon, I'm going to have four different perspectives: new moon, full moon, half light, half dark, half light, half dark. The interesting thing about the four phases of the moon is the right light, left dark can be thought of as the male brain. The left can be thought of as the female brain that we develop either within the context of the new moon or the full moon. The full moon is to positive illumination. What the new moon is to controlled manipulation that hopes to keep things shrouded in mystery. When we look at life as it's lived on the surface of this planet, a very interesting observation is made. There are those who are polarizing in the negative. There are those who are polarizing in the positive, and then there's the arbitrariness of anyone else. Now, here's an interesting tidbit. If I read the Old Testament, negativity. If I read the life of Jesus, positivity. If I study the theology of Paul, it's arbitrary. The interesting thing is that every moment of our day is positive, negative, and arbitrary, and we simply decide to actualize and demonstrate negativity, positivity, or arbitrariness from the perspective of who we are. The path as purpose is how an individual disciplines himself or herself within the composition of negative energy or positive energy away from or beyond the limits or bounds of the arbitrary, so an individual can be consistent and conducive within the context of the life that he or she has chosen as the positive or negative path. When we are looking at the evolution or development of the nature of the self within the composition of energy, we find that there's the death experience, there's ascension, and then there are those that simply do not choose how their life is going to evolve. One of the things that I mentioned, interestingly enough, one of the things that I mentioned, was removing negative energy absorbed and grounded in the body, because it needs to be done every 24 hours, because negative energy will build into sickness, disease, and death if it is not healed from the circumstance or condition of one's life, and it takes work in order to accomplish. One of the things that we have the opportunity of doing within the composition of our life is simply deciding what is the reality, what is the truth, making me the life of, as, for, through, to, with, so that I can do one thing consistently and conducively to enhance the quality of life from where I stand to my immediate circle of influence. And the circle of influence is simply, I like to think of it as 10 to 50 feet from where I stand and the affectations of that within the environment that I'm at, whether it's a business, it's a place, and so on. The opportunity is always available to everyone on the surface of this planet to live a life that is conducive to the health and welfare of others and the life forms on this planet. It is interesting how we choose to conduct our affairs. A very useful book that I recommend everyone read is the Seth book, The Individual and the Nature of Mass Events, because it talks about the effect of inclement weather, the flooding that's taking place along the Mississippi River, 22 feet above its shoreline. State of mass consciousness, folks. Every single weather pattern that takes place, from the hurricane to the tornado to the earthquake, you name the thing that takes place on the surface of this planet, and it is a direct result of mass consciousness. If people simply made the decision to be stillness, peace, and harmony as the heart, the body, and the head, that will be the representation within the composition of the body. It will be the representation within the context of the environment. One of the things that people don't realize is that the body does exactly the same thing that the earth does. The body absorbs negative and positive energy 24/7 from wherever an individual is, goes, is involved with. People do not work at letting go of negative energy, so they get sick. Ultimately, they die. One of the curious things is that within the composition or constitution of life, as we are the human beingness of. One of the really interesting things, and I'll share this experience with you. I'm standing on the street at 5 o'clock in the morning in Craig, Colorado, where there's a 20-mile-per-hour wind. It's 30 degrees with the wind chill. It's about zero. And I'm standing there waiting for my ride to take me from Craig, Colorado to Steamboat Springs to where I'm working at Wendy's. And this is in Steamboat Springs. It's the only job that I could get while I was there. I worked there for 6 months. So here's the interesting thing. As I'm standing looking at all of the stars in the heaven, because there were little lights, lots of stars, and the voice said this: you only recognize outside of your life what is inherent in it, for it is the only place that a given state exists, making you who you are. And it became an interesting thing, because then I started thinking about God and life and human beingness and so on and so forth. The usefulness of the information is that I know that my life is the human beingness of God and universe, divinity, deity, Yahweh, it, and mom and dad. That makes me who I am. The question is, do I simply hold to the issues and talents that I got from mom and dad, or do I get involved with will of light and consciousness as it pertains to God, universe, creator, that which brought us to life, and so on? Do I get in touch with those things so that hopefully my life can be self-sustaining, self-regenerative, self-perpetuating according to the instantaneous, spontaneous, simultaneous? If not, the only thing that I have going for me is the past, presently, future bound, which is ultimately going to bring about the death experience, because I am not taking enough into consideration. Death is the disparity between that which is real and true and that which is not, that a person chooses to personify within the composition or constitution of the life that he or she is. And almost every single human being in the 75,000-year history of human beings, we were created 75,000 years ago and brought to life, and it becomes a very interesting thing, a curious tidbit. And this comes from a few sources, Seth being one, Ra being one, is the entire evolution of the human species from start to finish is 75,000 years in 325,000-year cycles. According to the Ra, after 25,000 years of human evolution, no one was harvestable. At the end of 50,000 years, 150 people out of 394,000 were harvestable. They chose to stay rather than ascend. And today, the number is approximately 2 million out of 7 billion people. And the question is, why? Why is it that people are more interested in death of the body than it is simply getting with a program that works for the self in the context of ascension? Ascension means to rise above, to take with, integrate into. What an individual rises above is what the Bible says is the valley of the shadow of death. What an individual takes with them when he or she ascends is the body. The body is what an individual is ascending. And then you have integrating into the larger community of universe. An individual goes from a planetary state of existence into a universal state of existence. That is ultimately what collective ascension accomplishes within the context of life on planet Earth. We will simply go from a humanoid planetary state of existence into that which is universal. The interesting thing is that the only thing of use to the universe is that which makes a contribution to. It is the only thing useful. One of the interesting things about the raw material says that there is not greater and lesser. Within the negative path, both have their value, they both have their purpose, they both have their function. However, if an individual wants to polarize in the negative, it's primarily pain, fear, anger, hatred, violence, depression, suicide is the basis for a person's life according to negativity. how many people have seen Star Wars. One of the things that that this particular Han Solo's son says is, "I'm simply trying to end the pain and the fear and the anger." A person can do that if they understand that joy is to pain what love is to fear, what compassion is to anger, what acceptance is to hatred, what harmony is to violence, what happiness is to depression, what ascension is to suicide. Technically, a person can say every form of death that takes place within the composition or constitution of a human being is a form of suicide, meaning an individual has taken it by his or her own hand. Yes, we think of natural death, we think of violent death, and then we think of those individuals that actually do take their hand and end their life because they have been unwilling to resolve things. I used to be bipolar. I used to have a violent temper. I used to get frothing at the mouth. I used to get so enraged that I was blinded by the rage, and I knew at age 10 that if I didn't do something about it, I was going to kill somebody or kill myself. And yes, I was suicidal in my young days and in my teens. And one day I walked away from the idea of suicide, and I haven't looked back since. One of the really curious things about our life experiences is that we get to see where we have come from, where we have gone, and then we know that there's always something else. And that's a tidbit to remember, that there is always something else. There are those in Hinduism that aspire for bliss consciousness because they're told once you attain bliss consciousness, that's it. Not true. There's another state. This consciousness might last for about 5 seconds, 10 seconds, maybe 11 minutes. Who knows? The interesting thing about experiences outside of my life as a body that I find very, very fascinating is most of the experiences that I've had when I have meditated from enlightenment to fear to so on and so forth have lasted for less than a minute. I had the experience of being pure light. It lasted for 11 seconds. I've had the experience of being pure love. It lasted for 7 seconds. And I haven't had a repeat of the experience because infinity does not do instant replay. It's the reason why no two grains of sand are the same, no two blades of grass, no trees, no people. Instant replay does not take place within the composition of infinity. It means there's always something else. No two snowflakes have fallen that are the same. That's an impossibility because infinity means variable and variety of that which remains constant. God is the constancy. God can be a personal experience, but it takes a certain degree of discipline and development to accomplish. And yes, there is such a thing as the realness of God that has nothing to do whatsoever with human beingness, and yet we are the image and likeness of God because we are the human beingness of God. Just as every bear is the outness of God, there's the snakeness of God. Every single species on the surface of this planet is the image and likeness of God. It's simply there is only God. God is the existence. God is the representation. And how mindful we become from a perspective of specificness determines what takes place within the composition of our life and the lives of others. It is not all about always applying the self, always applying the self, always. It is nice to take a break. There's nothing wrong with having a glass of wine, eating a nice meal with friends. For me, the perfect experience is good wine, good food, good music, good people is the perfect experience. I play music here in Mount Shasta, and I have the opportunity of playing music all of the time. I am playing music tomorrow. I'm playing music Thursday. I've had periods where I go 7 to 10 to 14 days in a row where I play music with different people. And it's absolutely wonderful, and I'm fortunate that I'm halfway talented at it. Anyway, there comes a point in time where the sound of my voice has to go into silence. Within the quietude of silence rests the voice of God, and it is snoring. Big Z's. He is a real honker. You don't want to sleep with God because guess what? His snoring will keep you awake. Anyway, this is Welcome to My Point of View. I do this show every Tuesday about this time. Sometimes it's from 5:30 to 6:30 Pacific time. I will do it again next Tuesday. And anyway, I want to thank everybody. I'd like to thank the guests that were here. I'd like to thank everyone who's listening live, and we'll do it again next week. Thank you very much, and I'm at the end of my show. Good night.